The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
You have your Bibles tonight? Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Tonight we're going to have mass deliverance from occult and antichrist spirits. If you're driving the car and listening to this tape, I recommend you drive carefully. The enemy has been going a field day this week, overtime attacking me. I mean to tell you, why in the world I teach on things like this and not teach on happy little subjects. But Deuteronomy 7, but you know, I like to teach on stuff like this because this is what set the guys free. But I go through hell getting here to Friday night, let me tell you. It's the truth, because the demons do not want this word preached under the anointing. But God is always good. He's faithful. And He always helps me to overcome the dark powers so that we can end up here and have some ministry. Can you hear amen? And if you're receptive tonight, I want you to have an open heart. I'm going to say some things you may not be aware of. If you're listening to this tape and you may not, just keep an open heart. I want to show these things in the Word. Everything needs to be backed up by the Scripture. I always test everything in the Word. But if it's in the Word, we need to be aware of it. Amen? And walk in it. There's much in the Word to set His people free. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land, whether you go to possess it, this is God speaking to the children of Israel, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them, nor show no mercy to them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughters shall not be given to their sons. Neither your daughters should be taken to their sons. For they will turn away your son from following me, that they'd serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. But you shall deal with them, and you shall destroy their altars and break down their images and their groves and statues and pillars and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people unto me. You know, God's first two commandments in Exodus, if you remember, is, "Thou, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have what? No other gods." And the second one is, "Thou shalt make no graven images of anything in the heavens, in the earth, and underneath the earth." That, and he says, basically, for God will visit the iniquities of the fathers to the children, and he will not hold them guiltless. God commanded in the first few commandments to make no other god. He's a jealous God. One thing that makes God mad is when you put another god in front of him. Okay? His name is jealous. And it's interesting that, did you know one of the fiercest emotions in human nature is jealousy? In fact, we're told in Song of Solomon 5 that jealousy, I think it says, has the most vehement, let's see, let me pull that out. It says, Song of Solomon 5, this is not my notes, but I guess it would be 6, no, I'm sorry, Song of Solomon 8, 6. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Jealousy is a powerful emotion. In fact, here's an interesting Proverbs 27:4. Listen, Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before? And you know, even in the nature of man, Proverbs 7 ends with a picture of a man going into another woman that's not his wife, and it talks about the rage of jealousy. Listen, it says jealousy is the rage of man. And he says, you're not going to be able to put out the fires of jealousy with gifts. So this is one of the most strongest emotions there is jealousy. God says, I am what? Jealous. So when you need to understand that God loves you and covets a relationship with you and wants you to give no other devotion to any other gods, any other idols, you know, anything else that would take your heart from Him. And you need to understand that, because then you're going to understand why the consequences of doing so are so great. I mean, God literally told the Israelites, go in there and slaughter, kill, destroy, annihilate everything that breathes, because there's a chance it's going to pull your heart away from me. I mean, you understand? I mean, he was very drastic. He knows if you intermarry or you hang around knowing the human nature state, you're going to hang around and they're going to transfer those bad spirits on you. It'll dilute my pure and holy people. So he made it very clear. So, you know, what I want to develop tonight is the principle. What are the occult is? The teaching is occult and antichrist spirit. The word occult means hidden. Occult sciences. In fact, would you ushers hand out this flyer for me tonight while I'm talking? I have a flyer put together entitled "Exposing the Occult." It's an article I brought down off the web and kind of put some things into it too. But he gives you a definition of the occult. It's of the nature or pertaining to certain reputed sciences of magic, astrology, involving the alleged knowledge or employment of secrets or mysterious agencies. Basically, what the occult is going to, let's just generalize it, going to some source and gaining spiritual direction, guidance from other than God. Okay? It's going to some source for spiritual wisdom, guidance, and direction. You know, here in Pasadena, here in Houston, there are many places people go to palm readers. Amen? Or they'll go to these, what do they call these, psychics, card readers, tarot card readers. They even have now a channel, I believe, a TV channel called the Psychic Channel. And there's tons on the web, and people go to this stuff. They have a phone number you can call, 1-800-1900 phone number, and get, and it's a big rip-off and con. But you know, in a lot of ways, at times, there's some validity to it, because, you know, Satan does have some power, and he can trick people and deceive them, because he can tell them something that they wouldn't have known otherwise, and they can begin to believe it's God, just because it's supernatural, see? And he gets people to buy into these occult things. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been in the ministry of deliverance now since about 83, which makes it about 19 years. And I can tell you that of all the people I've ministered to, and I ministered to folks with all kinds of problems, I mean, you name it, yeah, I ministered to it. But I'm going to tell you, the most dangerous, devastating, and grievous problem of all is when someone was involved in the occult. I'm telling you, big old graduate demons are in there. Strongholds. Powerful demons when you involve, because you're violating the first commandment. And in fact, I really believe every other sin is to lead you to the occult. Let me give you an example. King Saul had a problem with jealousy and envy. And it was kind of a minor problem in the beginning of his reign. But he was petty and jealous and kind of a argumentative. But over the years, when he didn't deal with this envy problem of his, this insecurity, jealousy, it grew, and he began to be full of hate and resentment, bitterness, and finally murder. He killed the Lord's priest trying to kill David. And you know, in the very end of Saul's life, he finally ended up, because he was trying to hear from God, and God wouldn't talk to him anymore because he was so full of wickedness, that he went to a witch, the Witch of Endor. He literally went to gain spiritual direction from a witch. And it's almost like the main problem in Saul's life was rebellion. You remember the famous passage, rebellion is as what? The sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is iniquity. Well, that was what Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 early on when he was beginning to manifest his rebellion and his self-will against the Lord. Well, he ultimately ended up in the occult. And I've noticed and believe that many people, most believers that are in the occult, believers, and I say believers, there are believers that are in the occult. I know born-again believers that are totally in the occult. They're not in this church. Praise the Lord. But I know born-again believers that have gotten into the occult. In crystal power, and you know, and looking, prognosticators, praying to the dead, you know, getting into New Age philosophies. And by the way, one thing I want to tell you about the New Age. The word New Age today is really a euphemism for the old occult. And a lot of the stuff that's so-called New Age was just been around from the beginning. So it says new fancy names. And a lot of the teachings that come from the Eastern religions, the philosophies of the East, the philosophies of the pantheistic teachings of Hinduism and Buddhism and Shintoism and all these isms have crept into American lifestyle in an unbelievable way. You know, you can now go like in Brenham, you know, I can't picture kind of a more small town, innocent town than Brenham, you know, where they make Bluebell ice cream. Right in a strip center in Brenham, they'll have a print shop, a Kinko's, they'll have an acupuncture place. And it's accepted, acupuncture. Acupuncture is a means of neo-scientific, non-scientific healing that's based in the religion of Taoism. It is comes from an occult belief that somehow the body has these flowing forces within it that kind of flow into the universe, and there's certain ways by attaching and touching certain portions of the body, other portions of the body can be healed. It is purely based in a total non-scientific, occultic, Eastern philosophical, pantheistic belief. Other things like reflexology, I've heard of that, or iridology, which is the belief that you can look at someone's eye, and by looking at the eye, what is the iris of the eye, by looking at certain, you can determine the diseases in the body. A reflexology, the idea is by rubbing certain portions of the feet, it'll affect and heal the whole body. You know, all of these are occultic beliefs, occultic practices. Now, when I first got into deliverance 19 years ago, the New Age was so hardly in the United States at all. It was just scant, but it has gotten so prolific, it's unbelievable. It's got overwhelming. It's scary how prolific it is, and it's embedded in every fourth facet of our society, and it's been accepted. It's interesting that we have a missionary, or actually an apostle from India that comes here every other year. His name is Balasin. His name is C. Balasin Pandian Raja. No, C. Panda Raja Balasin. I don't know how you say his name. But he's a neat guy, and he comes in, and every other year he comes, and he always leads us in a rousing chorus of, what is it? I'm happy today, I'm happy. It's the same chorus, and every time. And you think a guy can get some more deep music than that? But you know, when you go to India, and I've been to India, and I've been in its churches, let me tell you, people getting out of that horrible, dark, wicked witchcraft of Hinduism into Christianity, all they want to do is, I'm happy today, I'm happy. Believe me. They're so happy not to be under that occult, demonic horror, which is perpetual Halloween, which is India. But it's one thing, Balasin said he came to the United States, and he comes for a few months, and he noticed, he went to one of these toy stores, you know, Toys R Us, and he got to look at all these toys and these games, and he said, you know, he said he recognized many, many of the Indian gods, and he even knew the names of the Indian. He said that India has 250 million gods. And there are 1 billion people, so that's one god for every four people. I guess it's, you know, spread it out. But he recognized the names of some of the chief gods. Now, we Americans are clueless. We don't have a clue about this stuff. Such a materialistic, blind society. But he recognized the East is permeated and absolutely infiltrated our country. And we can thank the Beatles for that. It was really George Harrison himself. Everybody was eulogizing. That man has been responsible for millions of people going to hell. I'm convinced. He himself is a Hare Krishna. My own brother, my own oldest brother, is a Hare Krishna. He worships Satan for all it's worth. My oldest brother. Thank the Lord I got saved. But George Harrison talked the Beatles into going to India in 68, I think it was, or 67, and meet the Maharishi Yogi. And suddenly, these Hinduist philosophies and beliefs that had never really crossed the shores of the U.S. of A. suddenly became prolific, became accepted. Transcendental meditation and these type of things began to come in, and along with the 60s. And now, they've percolated their way down our society that's unbelievable. Are you hearing me tonight? And there's very little understanding amongst believers about this, yet it's true. And when you get into deliverance, anybody worth his salt that's into deliverance knows about this, because that's what you're going to encounter when you cast demons out. You start dealing with people, you start ministering to them, and maybe there's strongholds of, you know, fear or rejection or abandonment or these types of things, or, you know, pride or lust. And those are valid strongholds, but invariably underneath it, there are usually big, powerful strongholds that are much more powerful than those things, and they usually have to do with the occult or some kind of curse that's come down the family line. There are many verses in the Bible having to do with the occult. I'm just going to throw this up in the overhead. I mean, just to validate it in the scripture, Leviticus 19. All of these are in this handout, by the way. This handout is full of some really good verses, so you don't have to write these down. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek the wizards to be defiled by them. I'm the Lord your God. Leviticus 26. The soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits. Familiar spirits, by the way, is the Bible way of talking about one that has a demon they have made family and they commune with, and it helps them. It's like a spirit guide. And after wizards go whoring after them, I'll set my face against that soul and cut him off from people. Leviticus 20, verse 27. A man or a woman that has a familiar spirit or is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They'll stone him with stones. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you any that makes his son or daughter pass through the fire that was to the god Molech. By the way, a lot of that, Molech now is a powerful demon god that rules in the United States. Is it Molech? Because of the abortion mills. He is a god that they would offer their infants to. He's basically manifested in that way. Or uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer is someone who prays to the dead. By the way, I was thinking not long ago, you know, we can thank Walt Disney for severely and seriously demonizing our country. Because I grew up with Disney films that I thought were pretty harmless, but did you know from the very get-go, they were glorifying wizards and witches. Are you hearing me? And made them as good witches and bad witches and this kind of stuff. But when you look at the Bible, God is absolutely, he says all these things, these are abomination of the Lord, etc., etc. Anyway, there's lots and lots of verses on this, needless to say, in the Word. It's prolific. And you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, it's interesting. the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, in Acts 19, it says they brought their occult books together, and they burned them. First book burning. And it says, as a result, the word of God grew and prospered. Acts 19. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the people. In Acts, was it 7, where Stephen went into Samaria, and Simon the sorcerer held everybody bewitched? Remember? And then he followed Peter, and finally said, look, man, I like, you know, Peter's praying for people, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost and casting out demons. And Simon said, this is in Acts 7, isn't it? Simon said, here's some money. Is it Acts 7? Try to look it up. It's one or the other. It's at 8. I think it's 8. That's why I keep going back to my brain. It's Acts 8. Yeah, Acts 8. And, you know, he said to Peter, he says, well, hey, man, can I give you some money to have some of that power? And you know what Peter said? He said, your money perish with you. He says, to think that you can buy the gift of God. He says, I perceive, listen, that you are the gall of bitterness. Now, I want to tell you something. I have found most people that drift to the occult is because of bitterness. They never deal with unforgiveness. There's a bitterness, there's a resentment deep inside. And finally, they give up on God. You know why? Because God resists the proud. And if you hang on to a bitterness, if you hang on to resentment or judgment, you don't let go of some kind of hurt in a relationship, do you know ultimately that's going to drive you from God? Because you cannot fellowship with the Lord in intimacy and hold bitterness against someone else. Can that amen? He says, if you do not forgive one another, I know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. You cannot. And I'm telling you, the end result of bitterness invariably. And I know people, and I know you do too, people that have known the Lord, particularly these people that are in these religions that are very legalistic. Legalistic religions. And the reason they gravitate to legalism is because they don't have any intimacy with the grace of the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord, and they end up being full of the occult. Okay, what we want to look at now, in the overhead, is some symptoms that one is demonized or deceived by these antichrist spirits. Turn to 1 Samuel 15:22. You might want to write these down, and then we're going to do some ministry. 1 Samuel 15:22. I think I quoted this. Symptoms of occult and antichrist spirits. The first is a rebellious and stubborn attitude. He says, 1 Samuel 15:22. Look at verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Did you know, particularly in regard to this spirit, when someone rebels at the notion that they could be affected by this spirit, it usually is indicative that they're affected by this spirit. Because it's the spirit in them that's rebelling. Antichrist spirit. You know, John talks about the Antichrist spirit. He says, the Antichrist spirit is already among you. There's going to be a man that's going to ultimately embody the Antichrist. He will be called the Antichrist, the man of perdition, the man of sin. But this spirit is already prolific in the world today, the Antichrist spirit. And I believe in a lot of ways the Antichrist spirit is very much tied into the New Age, into the occult. I believe Satan's man of the time, Antichrist, when he rises, I believe the whole culture of the world is being prepared. And when he comes on the scene, he will, the Bible says, deceive the whole world by lying, signs, and wonders. And he will be operating in occult power. You know what's interesting? You know what's going to be his mainstay of acceptance in the whole world? He's going to finally bring peace to Israel. And isn't it something that happens to be where the headline is every day? I mean, one of the major things every day in the last couple of months has been the horror of Israel. I mean, did you know just today, 23 people were killed in Israel. No, I'm sorry, 50. 53 people were killed today. It was the worst day in the last 17 months. Today. Because of that, and that Palestinian problem. And, you know, they're just crying out for peace, man. You know? And George W. sent his envoy over there, and he said, and he keeps telling Arafat, please make him stop. Like, Arafat's a terrorist. You don't want to make him stop. It's just a sick situation. But when Antichrist comes, he's going to somehow bring peace. And the world is going to go, whoa, this is the man. I mean, the world leaders don't have a clue what to do about Israel right now. Did you know that? All the leaders in the world do not have a clue. And as I think recently the Egyptian president, Mubarak, I think his name is was Mubarak. And, you know, and the Saudi prince is jumping in, and the Russians, and they're all trying to figure out a way to bring peace to Israel right now. It ain't going to happen until this Antichrist. Well, it really won't happen until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen? But Antichrist is going to bring a false peace. But I think he's going to tantalize the world through the occult. And look at Ezekiel 12:2. Another symptom. Ezekiel 12:2. Another symptom of an Antichrist or an occult spirit of someone is an unwillingness to be corrected or to hear the truth about yourself. Might get it gets home a little bit. Ezekiel 12:2. Turn there. It says, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, ears to hear and hear not, the rebellious. Remember, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Another symptom of it is an unwillingness to be corrected. The eyes to see and ears to hear, but refuse to hear and see. When someone is unwilling to hear the truth about themselves, it's usually an indication there's an occult demon in there. Not in every case, but usually. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a little thing I've learned over the years about this. Kind of a little gauge. Now, when I tell you this, you're going to be held accountable for it, but it works. See, people give little subtle signals. You know, somebody's doing something that you really know is not cool and it's hurting other people, and you want to offer correction to them? You know what I'm talking about. But just the thought of talking to them just gives you this sinking feeling in your stomach. You know, it's like they send out vibes. You come correct me, and I'll get angry. I'll lash at you. You know what I'm talking about? Certain people you can go to correct, and they just, you know, sure, they have a meek spirit. But other people, just the thought of you, they're going to laugh. It's almost like a panther lives inside of them. It's like I've actually seen that demon. You know, it's like a panther or a cat. It's like a cat spirit that lives inside. And, you know, the old, you know, cats don't come near me. So, yeah, Jenny can do it. So you know what happens? You know how you can gauge whether there's witchcraft in someone else? Are you ready? Or even in yourself? Are they correctable? Got real quiet. You know, the proverb says wise man loves correction and reproof. Amen? A lot of scriptures about that. But a fool despises correction. And you know how I can discern? I've learned to do this as a pastor. I can think of different people in the body because at times I have to offer correction. In fact, just tonight, my little trusty white card here, where is it? Oh my God, I've lost. What am I going to do? Oh no, oh there it is. Don't want anybody to see it. I write these things in code in case you drop it, you know. You say, what's the pastor going to correct today? Scribble lobble, who is that? See, I know. But sometimes the Lord quickens to me to speak to someone about something that I'm discerning is out of order in their life. And y'all that know me know I'm free to do that, amen? I'm free to do that. I want to be a faithful pastor. I will get in your face. Am I right, brother? I will get in your face. Amen? A shepherd, did you know a shepherd will take his little sheep? And you know what he does? He says he has to take a cloth and clean stuff out of their eyes and their nose. I'm serious. I'm glad I'm a spiritual pastor, a shepherd. It's true. So, you know, as a shepherd, I discern and I pray. But you know what I found? And some of y'all in spiritual authority know what I'm talking about. Certain people, the thought of confronting, in fact, this particular one that I need to confront right here, I know there's not going to be a problem. You know, I know when I talk to him, this individual will go, you're right, sure. I mean, it's going to be an easy deal. Because he has a meek heart. Okay, needs to put some guidance. Not a problem. In fact, where's Randy? I had to offer Randy a question the other day. Remember that thing about, he would go to late, work late instead of coming in late. And he said, you're right, man. I mean, it was great. I love correcting Randy. He's got a meek heart. And he just totally received it. Praise God. Well, that time anyway. Remember about coming into dinner? You were missing dinner all the time. Yeah, but he it was really cool. He totally received it. You know, when I thought about correcting Randy, I didn't have that thing in my gut. I had peace. But you know, there's other people that even the thought of correcting them, I go, eh. You know what I'm talking about? The sphere. Do you know what? That's a gauge. That means there's witchcraft in them. I'm picking up a demon. I'm picking up a panther spirit. And then don't go near me. See? So that's the ones I have to pray fast, you know. Work for the perfect timing, saddle up to them. Can I talk to you a minute? You know, they freak out. The pastor wants to talk to me, you know. Come in, I give him a $10 bill, you know. Come on. The point is, there are these spirits that live in people. And they live in some of y'all. And they're there a lot of times because you involved in the occult or someone in your generational line was. And if you hang around this church, you don't want it in you. Are you hearing me? Or if you're listening to this tape right now, and you haven't turned it off yet, you don't want it in you. But it's in you nonetheless. And the first thing you got to do is discern that it is. And these are symptoms. And this particular symptom is, you don't like to be corrected. Now wait, no, that's not fair. None of us like to be corrected. That's not fair. But when you are corrected, you tend to react with a lot of anger and you don't want to hear it. Hello? I think none of us like to be corrected anymore. We like to go to the dentist. But we know we need to go to the dentist. And we go. And we're willing to go because we know what's good for us. That's what we need to be in regard to correction. Can you know what I mean? Reproofs of instruction of the way of life. An honest heart knows that I need guidance and correction. Did you know there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes about that? It talks about a foolish king. Yeah. Listen to this, Ecclesiastes 4:15. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no longer be corrected. So let's go to the next one, Isaiah 65:2. These are symptoms of the presence of an occult spirit in someone's life. Isaiah 65:2, turn there. It's the pursuit of one's own thoughts and imaginations. He says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. Again, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Which walks in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. NIV reads, pursuing their own imaginations. Remember he says we're to cast down every high thing and every imagination? Another symptom of the presence of an occult spirit in a person is a tendency to pursue their own thoughts and imaginations, which is rebellion. Bible says we don't wrestle after, we don't war after the flesh, but we war with spiritual weapons. Remember that? Casting down what? And bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, to walk in the Spirit. So not let your brain just go wacko. How many of y'all know that your brain starts wandering? You better pull that thing in. Can you understand? You let your brain, you know, your brain is like a wayward kid, or like a dog that's never been trained. It is. It just wants to wander around. You need to learn to lasso and not just let any old thought, bat fly through the belfry. You never know what it's going to bring in with it. And when someone has this spirit in them, one of the indications, they have tormenting thoughts, painful memories, and irrational fears. And a lot of times it's a spirit inside of them that causes a rebellion, and they don't discipline their mind. They have an undisciplined thought life. They've not learned to corral the thoughts. The Bible says we're not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. That word in the Greek is sophronismos, and what it means is a well-ordered thought life. That's what God's promise to us is. But it takes we need to, you know, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It's a discipline to keep your thoughts. And the way I've learned to corral my thoughts is to not even mess with my thoughts, is just learn how to get in the Spirit. See? When you get in the Spirit, thou will keep them in perfect. Who's what? How do you do that? You get in the Spirit. You learn to pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, seek Jesus, stay close to Jesus. And guess what? The result is you have an ordered thought and a lot of the tormenting thoughts. And I tell you, there's nothing more tormenting than torment. There's nothing more miserable than misery. Get out of that. And there's nothing more, you know what people are looking for in the world? The reason they run to all kinds of things is they're looking for peace of mind. They're looking for something. The reason people take drugs and alcohol is just to space out and get out of that torment. It's just to alleviate. That's why they get out. They space out to get away from the torment, the misery. The good news is, in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, knowing the Lord and walking in the Spirit, we don't have to go running. We can have peace right in the middle of the storm. Amen? Like I was sharing last week, right in the middle of the hurricane, there's an eye of peace we can dwell in there. Praise God. Self-willed thought life, I wrote here, equals an open door to the demonic. Now, other symptoms, I don't have scriptures for these, of occult antichrist is a lying, deceitful spirit. There are many scriptures along this. I think 1 Timothy 4 says in a lot of days will be, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. A lying and deceitful spirit, you know, somebody that you're never quite sure what they're up to. You know, there's shifty eyes. When you talk to them, you can't ever pin them down. There's a deception. It's like you can't ever find who the real person is. There's a lying spirit. The lie goes so deep. Jesus said, in John 8:44, he said to the Pharisees, he said, "You're of your father the devil." He says he was a liar from the beginning. And the lust of your father. And basically, when you lie, you get under the dominion of the devil. You open yourself. And the thing is, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. And if the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye be mixed, I mean, there's compromises, the whole body is full of darkness. And how great is the darkness? And one way I've been able to discern is when you talk to people, I like to look them right down the eyeballs. Amen? Suddenly everybody's looking at me. I don't have one. See? I had a lady come up to me a lot longer. She came to the service a few weeks ago, and she didn't know anything. She's brand new, and I just met her, and I'll tell you the truth. She knew she saw me on TV, and she knew I was in deliverance. She pulled me inside in the hallway, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, "Can you see demons in me?" Sorry. She went, "Can you see demons in me?" Hold her eyes like that. And I looked at her and went, "Yeah, 9. What's that big one behind me?" I was kidding around with her. She went, I laughed. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "discerning of spirits is a gift that operates under the anointing." I said, "I don't walk around with that thing all the time. I go nuts." I don't want to see it, you know. Under the anointing, I said, yeah, but, you know, praise God. It'd be a bit much to see those things all the time. We hear them. The next one is suspicion. You know, somebody has a suspicious inability to trust. They're susceptible to accusing voices. There's always a voice questioning the motives or sincerity or goodwill of another. This is indicative of again, the word occult means hidden. A lying spirit says there's darkness. He that does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be made manifest. But he that hates, does evil, hates the light, neither comes to the light, Jesus said, lest your deeds should be reproved. And it speaks of darkness and hiddenness and agenda. I found the reason most people get real religious is because there's a sin of perversion in their life. I'm going to get really frank here. The reason people get really philosophical and religious and heady, you know why? Because there's some low-life scum sin they don't want to look at. And you start coming down, you know, bring this thing down to earth, you know, they talk about God, you know, the God. Oh, God, shma, let's talk about sin. Talk about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Yes, in the theoretical way, I guess I've stolen the notions and ideas of others. No, give me a break. Thou shalt not kill or hate. Well, yes, I guess at times I find lust or not lust. Lust, yes, what a concept. Lust, yes, I guess it. Oh, give me a break. On the way up to the office here, you were ogling some girl in the elevator. Well, come on, be honest. Well, I don't want to talk to you. We have a wonderful way to witness. We knock on the doors. People come to the door and we say, "Hi, we're from New Wine. We're here to talk to you about relationship with God. Have you ever stolen?" Some guy came to the door, full of religion. In fact, we're in a religious neighborhood right now. We need to get through this neighborhood, get back with the low-life people. That's the ones that come to Jesus. But this neighborhood just got religion in the gates of it. And this guy comes, and Clint says, "Well, have you ever lied? Well, have you ever stolen?" And, you know, you could just feel, I'm kind of watching, you could feel the demons in the guy go, you know, he wants to stay theological, but you start hitting him with the Ten Commandments, amen? Hit them with the law. Hit them with the reality. You smoke up what's really in there. And those things love to hide. And that's what the occult is. It's hiding. It's hidden. And I'm telling you, I'm finding a lot of this stuff is rooted. My grandparents, my mom's grandmother is a full-blood Cajun. In fact, from southern Louisiana. And my mom's grandmother married a full-blooded Jew. His name was Marx. There was enough Jew blood in me that in the Holocaust I would have been gathered up. God forbid. But there's all this Cajun blood on that side, the French Cajun. And my dad, he was just a Yankee, you know. But, well, that's bad enough right there. Oh, I'm sorry, there are Yankees in the crowd? He was, when he was three, he moved to New Orleans. He grew up some one of those Yankee cities up there, New York or something, I don't know, Cincinnati. But I found out that the voodoo and the occult is prolific in southern Louisiana. I mean, down there, and I went to college in Lafayette, Louisiana. Okay, Raging Cajuns. And turn on the radio, it's all in French. This is in America, you know. But down there, if you have a wart, I mean, this is kind of, you have a wart, it's no problem. You go down to a little lady down the street, and she'll rub something, and the wart will go away. I mean, through certain voodoo medicines, and, you know, cut a chicken off, or put some... But then the problem is, if you use any kind of psychic healing, because it's become very popular now. Back, you know, generations ago, it was kind of obscured in these Acadiana and these Arkansas hills, you know, occult things. Now, it's almost an accepted science, you know, this occult healing. Psychic healing. You know, some of these things, you know, blow you away. But you know what psychic healing is? I actually saw it on TV once about 20 years ago. I repented. This is why TV is so deadly. I saw this on television in the 70s. I actually saw a video of it. It took me years to get it out of my mind. And I was demonized. But they literally stick your hand inside your body, grab the organ, and pull it out, and there's no scar. And they hold it up. They're sticking their hand in there, just rubbing it, they find it, pull it out, and there's no scar, nothing. And you go, my God, well, that is satanic occult healing, psychic healing, straight from the devil. Yeah, you may be healed of whatever the thing was, but guess what you get in return? You get powerfully demonized. It's almost like people that trade their soul to the devil. And you may get rid of the wart, but you're going to get an inside wart. You understand what I'm saying? The devil doesn't play fair. And you never buy off on these occult things. Don't think you can go to an acupuncturist or a kinesiologist and get away with it. You've opened yourself. You've opened the door to the jealous God and the judgment of God. The next is guilt and legalism. People that have very little comprehension of grace live under rules and standards. Look, there are people that are guilt, but I'm talking about someone who really gravitates, our family line, everybody in the whole family, you know, they're into bondage, you know, they're all into a religion where they all kind of associate to guilt and legalism. A lot of times it's because there's occult spirits, or that drives into the occult. You know, it's interesting that in the Amish country, it's full of the occult. Now, I didn't know this. I went up there with Norman Parrish in Lancaster, is it? Pennsylvania. We were there. And we were caught behind one of them buggies at one point. But we went to this little show, and Norman was giving me a tour of Lancaster County. And we were talking about Y2K at the time, thinking they're going to be lucked off, you know, because they live without electricity. But come to find out, there is tremendous occult activity. Well, the reason is they're so legalistic. They're opening the door to that kind of garbage. I mean, unbelievable. You know, refuse to even use any electrical appliance for some religious reason. Well, open the door to something demonic. There's no grace. I want you to look at one more verse. Daniel 9, verse 8. Another area that is indicative of the occultic antichrist spirit is persistent confusion. Turn to Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verse 8 reads, listen to this. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of faith, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. What I want you to see is the link between confusion and rebellion. Can you see that? Because of our rebellion, we have confusion of faith, persistent confusion. You know, one person, listen to this, a rebellious heart brings a confused mind for spiritual things. For spiritual things. The carnal mind doesn't understand the things of the spirit, so the first Corinthians is true. But a rebellious heart equals a confused mind. Someone may be brilliant, intellectually brilliant and ordered, and, you know, a scientist or a computer programmer, and there's no confusion at all. But I'm talking about when you talk about spiritual things, you're clueless. Huh? Yeah, Bill Gates, perfect example. Guys, they say Bill Gates is unbelievably brilliant. Too brilliant for himself. I also know a man who had talked to a guy who did business dealings with Bill Gates, Ralph Berkley. He knew a guy that did business in Bill Gates, and Bill Gates is the wealthiest man not only of the world, but I think of all time. And he's an unbelievably brilliant person. He started programming back when he was a young teenager. He and a friend of his programmed the traffic pattern for the city of Seattle. And they wrote this little program called Traffic Data, you know, so just the guy was brilliant. And when they asked Bill Gates about God, his response was basically, God doesn't make logical sense. Because he's so brilliant, he's so overdeveloped in the intellectual, there's very little capacity for the spiritual. Now, it's interesting, his wife, family goes to the same church my little brother goes to, in Plano. And I've got some stories there. My little brother tells me, and they're Catholic. But we've had some conversations. What's her name? Melinda, yes. I'll tell you one thing he's doing is he is dedicating billions and billions and billions of dollars to charitable causes and humanitarian causes around the world. That's what his wife does full time. I mean, billions. The largest foundation in the history of the United States from the beginning is Melinda Gates Foundation right now. We're talking $15 billion to alleviate hunger, to alleviate, you know, to bring vaccines. So he's trying to do good works. I mean, billions and billions of dollars. You know what's so sad? When he gets in judgment today, God's going to go, none of it will get you in. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 49, talks about the rich, you know, build things for the, but none of it, Jesus said, what will it profit you if you gain what? The whole world, and lose your soul. Lord, we pray for Bill and Melinda Gates. I pray that the Holy Ghost would hit Melinda, who's open. Through that, I pray Catholic Charismatics would talk to Melinda, she'd be open, and Bill, you'd reach his heart. Can you hear an amen? It'd be so fine if God could channel those funds for the kingdom of the living God. Boy, that'd be throwing at the devil. Rebellion and confusion. Another one is unrepentant gossip and slander. I'm talking about unrepentant, and when someone feels justified. That's a clear sense because we're operating in a blame mode. Again, there's darkness. And a few more areas. Judgmental attitudes. A flattering tongue. And I wrote here, I didn't put them all in my heart, overhead. A hardened heart. Arrogant, self-righteous attitudes. And listen, a refusal to change. Now finally, the causes of witchcraft and antichrist spirits coming in. The first cause, I did have those. All right. The causes is not dealing with sin in a relationship. Remember, Saul never dealt with the sin in a relationship with David. Unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment opens the doors to the devil. One of the reasons I harp so much on forgiveness and mercy is because it opens the door. And the devil's plan, you know what Satan's ultimate plan for you and I is? You know what it is? Let me tell you, it is to get you to worship him. And he went right out there with Jesus. Remember on the mount, he said, Jesus, if you'll worship me, I'll give you everything. He laid his cards right at the table with Jesus. This is my agenda. You worship me. I mean, he doesn't come that straightforward with us. He pulled out the pitchfork and he just came right up to Jesus. That's what I want. You worship me. That's what his deal is. To submit, but it starts with submitting to his authority and then seeking him. Now the problem is he comes in obscurity. And in fact, my booklet out there, Spiritual Warfare. You know what Satan's greatest disguises of all? Yourself, because we're of old Adam nature. And you know when you lean and trust in yourself, it's tantamount to trusting in the devil. You know why? Because you're of the devil. Except for the blood of Jesus. Can I amen? We're all children of the devil. We're destined to wrath, children of wrath. So that's why Jesus' command was to deny what? Yourself. Take up the cross. Be crucified. That's his disguise, if you can. Look, people don't say, well, I worship Satan. You know, I'm into Satan worship. And unfortunately, there are people that actually boast about that today. But, you know, people say, well, I'm self-reliant. I'm a self-made man. You ever heard that? That's basically saying, well, I'm Satan-reliant. I'm a Satan-made man. Now, you know, it's kind of not politically correct to say it like that, but that's what it is. Boy, if they hadn't turned the tape off yet, that did it right there. Click, click. Where's that button? The second cause of the occult antichrist spirits, and after these three, we're going to go ahead and have prayer. It's undealt with attitudes in the heart. You know, Saul started with his jealousy, it progressed to witchcraft. Any attitude, listen to carefully, any attitude left to itself will degenerate to rebellion, self-will, and witchcraft control. Any attitude that, and you know the Holy Spirit, thank God, the Holy Spirit, He's the one that delivers us. You don't have to sit there and scrutinize yourself. You don't have to. All you gotta do is go to the Lord. Say, Lord, search me. Remember the verse? Search me and try me and see. You bring it up, Lord. And all to be saved, I just have an open heart to Jesus. Lord, whatever it takes, I don't care. Come on, root it up, pull it out. But if there's anything you've held back and you don't want to talk to God about, which is so silly, you know, then it will degenerate to this kind of a spirit and open the door. And finally, any and all involvement in occultic type activities in your life or the life of the generations before you. Even harmless indulgences can open the door. Someone recently was telling me they were going to go to an acupuncturist because they were in a lot of pain. And they told me this. And what did I think? And I told them what I thought. In no uncertain terms. I said, if you do that, you will open the door to the devil. And he will demonize you in your soul and possibly in your body. And whereas you may get alleviation of pain in one area, you'll get a torment in any others. You know, we need to be free to tell people about these things. Can I, amen? Look at the little booklet I gave you. In the booklet, the reason I gave it to you, this may be new for some people. And if you're listening to the tape, just bear with me a minute. These are some of the areas. This is a simple little booklet. Involvement in and belief in or use of any of the following constitutes being involved in the occult. This is a representative. This is a very small list. Our deliverance booklet has almost 100 areas. Unbelievable. You wouldn't believe the kind of areas it covers. But this talks about acupuncture and amulets, astral projection, astrology, auras, biorhythms, channeling, clairvoyance, communication with the dead, crystal balls, crystal healing, divination, divining, fortune telling, the goth movement, you know, these kids getting that, hexes, holistic health practices, horoscope, hypnotism, I Ching, incantations, levitation, right, just jumping into this, mind control, mysticism, new age numerology, new Ouija boards, out of body experiences, palmistry, psychic readings, reflexology, reincarnation, rune stones, seances, seers, snake charming, sorcery, spells, spiritualism, superstition, tarot cards, tea leaf reading, telepathy, transcendental history, UFO cults, vampirism, visualization, tantric techniques. Unfortunately, a lot of charismatic churches in the Word Faith that actually push visualization techniques. I believe that the Word Faith movement is rooted in the occult. If you will study the teachings of Hagen, who blatantly, blatantly plagiarized the writings of E.W. Kenyon, blatantly. You can find web pages that literally have E.W. Kenyon's and Kenneth Hagin's. He blatantly plagiarized it. Blatantly. Word for word, chapter after chapter, denies it. And E.W. Kenyon, who was the father of the Word Faith movement, had been into mind science and the occult. And he began to bring out these teachings in the late 40s and early 50s about basically the same philosophical beliefs that Mary Baker Eddy brought out in Christian Science. The root of it, that's why there's something fundamentally wrong with Word Faith. And that thing developed in its fruition, now it's gotten a point where just in a church, it's not even a quarter mile from this church, it's a big church, I'm not going to say the name of it. They have one of the leading Word Faith people is there last weekend, Charles Capps. I was thinking, I'd like to get all of our people stand out on their sidewalk with signs saying, occult! And then I thought better of it, because I want to be a good neighbor, and I'd met the pastor. I really need to go to him first, right? Before you stand in front of his church with signs. But Charles Capps, I'm telling you, that man and his teaching is right from Nana Land. I mean, it's like UFO stuff, man. It's wacko. But he seems so reasonable. He just looks like a little old grandfatherly guy and just talks very logically. But if you got any discernment, you go, this guy. And yet he is embraced by these people. And there was someone wrote a book, and in the word, the teaching of, no, the title of the book was Money Come Forth. And this guy was getting bookings all over, you know. Money come forth! And he gets thousands of, you know, because they pack them out then, 10,000 people. All right, everybody say it with me, money come forth out of that wallet! They lay the wallets on the ground, come forth! You know, Marilyn Hickey literally says to speak to your wallet and command it to be filled. She does, have the quote. Or Kenneth Copeland says, tell that mortgage, be paid! Well, you know, forgive me, but I'm really ignorant. I think the way that you pay the mortgage, you pull out your checkbook and you write a check. I didn't know I could just tell it to be paid! I'm telling you, folks, that's occultism. Hello? That's witchcraft. And I'd say if those gentlemen in this room, they wouldn't darken the doors of a room like this. Man, if they not only have turned the tape off now, they have thrown it out the window. Praise God. So this booklet, The Bible and the Occult, Specific Commands, verse page 3. God never intended his people left to dark concerning occult practice. So this, the passages, power, when one compares the power of the occult to that of our God of creation, it's hard to imagine why one would rely upon the occult. Characteristics, look at this. Page 3, characteristics. Participation in the occult is an act of the sinful nature. It's a sin, evil and wickedness, rebellion, defiles, it's deceiving. Look, you see those passages? I gave you the word. Hello? I want you to have the scripture. That's why you have this. People are going to challenge you. Turn the page. Penalties. If the above scriptural information weren't enough to convince a person involved in the occult of something to be avoided, the Bible gives plenty of penalties for it as a warning. The penalties include loss of occult power, shame, disgrace, calamity, distress, hunger, gloom, darkness, futility, natural dispossession, captivity, enslavement, banishment, being cut off, wandering, woe, punishment, condemnation, God's wrath, and death. God doesn't like it. And there's the scriptures. Lord, I pray now, in the remaining minutes, that you would come with the Holy Ghost's anointing. And we're going to leave the tape on. If you're listening to this tape, I challenge you to don't turn it off, because we're going to do some mass deliverance tonight and break some of these spirits. Hallelujah. Oh, la basita. I'm going to take that little booklet I gave you and put that in your Bible. Some of y'all, study these things. Learn about it, man. Learn what the Word says. By the way, here's the good news. You don't have to go out and learn about all these cults and all these. You don't. Just learn the Word. Know the Word. So that when these weird, wicked things come along, you'll spot it in a second because you got the Word of God in you. It's like the guy who, they teach people, the way they discern these, in the FBI, the way they teach people to catch counterfeit money, is, you know, a counterfeit fives and tens. You know how they do it? They just teach, they tell them, just learn and study the real money. You know what a $5 bill and a $10 bill is and every little tiny nuance and line so that when a phony comes, you spot it. You don't have to study the counterfeit. We don't have to study the occult, world religion. You just know the word, amen? You'll spot the phony thing in Jesus' name and take authority over it. And if you don't know it up here, you'll feel something in your gut. You say, you know, there's something wrong about this. Your kid comes home, or these cartoons with these third eyes and beams are like these, what are those little Teletubbies, you know? That's psychic power. Man, right here is where your spirit is this God, the sun God. When you start looking at these cartoons, it's all psychic stuff, Eastern religion, occult stuff, being fed to your kids. Rock music's full of the occult. I'm telling you, now it's getting blatant. We hadn't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, we hadn't seen nothing. We hadn't seen nothing. This is a time of mercy and grace. We got George W. for president. We hadn't seen nothing was coming down. The level of witchcraft. The Bible says it's going to be so bad that if God didn't do something, every human being will be killed. But for the elect's sake, he will shorten those days. I mean, we hadn't seen nothing. I mean, Satan is going to control this world through Antichrist with a mind control system through the occult. Unbelievable. We don't have a clue how bad it's going to get. We're just on the fringes, the birth pangs. Good amen. So learn now, be wise, for the days are coming. A lot of people talk about this great revival, the great revival, and I wish to God, see, it's true with all my heart, I pray for it, but I don't see it in the Word. The only revival I see in the Word is a revival of evil and wickedness, and men's hearts waxing wicked, and the earth getting more and more wicked, and the apocalypse, and the coming horsemen. I'm telling you, that's what I see in the Word. But the church is just praying for the great revival, and they're all pre-tribbers, because right before it gets evil, we're all going to float away. And drink new wine. Look at it. No, I'm sorry. That ain't in the world. I don't believe that for a minute. No. He's going to rescue us from the midst of the tribulation. Praise God. Before the wrath. But I'm sorry. We ain't going to float away before it gets bad. That ain't through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Boy, not only have they thrown the tape out of the car, now they're backing the car over it. Crash that puppy. Draw those crowds. All right. Jesus. I wrote here. Okay, yeah. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, I confess a rebellious and stubborn attitude, an unwillingness to be corrected, the pursuit of my own thoughts and imaginations. I confess a lying and deceitful spirit, suspicious attitudes, guilt and legalism, persistent confusion, unrepentant gossip and slander, judgmental attitudes, flattery, hard heart, and at times a refusal to change. Lord, I'm willing to deal with the sin in relationships. Oh, Lord, I want you to deal with the attitudes in my heart. And Lord, I want every occult spirit manifest and delivered out of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I go through these things, I'm going to come against some of these occult things. I'm just going to command the spirits behind them to come out. Now, what I want you to do is, as I say these things, in your heart go, I renounce that. I don't want any part of that. Okay? Just renounce. As I say, I say, man, no, I don't want that. That may be in your life. Okay? But you renounce it. You say no to the devil. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And I'm going to hit on some things that's going to get real close to home. Some of y'all are going to get real uncomfortable in the room. That's why I'm going to turn it down just a little bit. Okay. Come, Holy Ghost. Father, I bind in the name of Jesus every demon around this building, or in this building, I bind you, Satan. You will not interfere in any way. Father, I ask you to send angels all up and down this room. Lord, lots and lots of angels around the room to just and grab a hold of these spirits as they come out and drag them onto them. In the name of Jesus, I come against every demonic spirit that came into these saints through astrology or horoscopes, in Jesus' name. Every demon that came in through astrology, horoscopes, reading your horoscope, fascination with the stars, fascination with finding guidance through those means, in the name of the Lord, every demon that has... Now, again, as I say these, you say, man, I want that. I want that in my life. I renounce it. Automatic handwriting. Black magic. Occult books, occult witchcraft books, fascination with the occult, fascination with psycho-cybernetics, fascination with psychological, pseudo-psychological means to find spiritual help. I renounce every spirit of deception in that area in Jesus' name. It may be that you have occult books in your house, something occultic in your house. It may be some, it says that the first passage I read tonight, Deuteronomy 7, you have to get those things out of your house. Charms and bracelets and statues and statuettes and paintings that have anything to do with the East or Mexico or the Africa. You have to, not everything, but you have to look at it. If it has anything to do with a god or it looks funny or you get a twist in your gut, then get rid of it in Jesus' name. Amen? When in doubt, cast it out. That's my philosophy on it. Now, we were down in Mexico in Cozumel a few weeks ago, Sherry and I were, and we go to these gift shops, and she would say, what do you got this? And I would say, well, does it have a god on it? No gods, okay, cool. Just a little flower, okay, look at that flower. Okay, it's cool. You gotta be careful. You know what I'm saying? A little flower, a little demon face. The sun god of Mexico, I'll say the major sun god of Mexico, which is similar to the sun god of Egypt, and they both have pyramids. That's a whole belief. That's because I believe one time the world was all connected and they drifted apart in the days of Peleg. And that's why you have these similar sun god worshipping pyramid making, societies that are in the same latitude, just separated by the Atlantic. That's because they divided in one man's generation. You say, where is that? It's in a word. But it's interesting that the god of Mexico is this round thing. It has its tongue out. It does. And isn't that like devil? Isn't that like Satan, the chief god, is sticking his tongue out of his own people? Fools. Fools that would worship such a thing. Get that stuff out of your house. Renounce it. Burn it. Can that amen? In Jesus' name, clairvoyance, charms, good luck pieces, rabbit foots, horseshoes, get rid of that stuff. It's demonic. Four-leaf clovers, trying to find something, fetishes, hanging on to something, maybe give me good luck. It might be a good luck shirt. Oh, I'll wear that. I'll always wear that jacket. I want to wear that sweater when I take a test. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's occultism. You're looking to something to help you other than the Lord God. Get rid of it. Renounce it. I'll break the curse over it. Clairvoyance, conjuring, consult with the dead, praying to the anyone Catholic here, praying to the dead saints is occultic. I speak as a former Catholic to pray to anyone. There's one mediator between God and men, 1 Timothy 2, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Mary is not the mediatrix. Mary's last words in the Bible, her last words in the Bible were, do whatever he says. So let's follow that. And there is no other way or place to pray, and so praying to the dead. I've known people, particularly like a woman whose husband will die, and you know, years later she still talks to him or anything. I'll tell you, that's demonic. You open yourself to demons because he'll talk back. That dead person will talk back, only it's not the dead person. It's a demon. Impersonate. Do you know the Mormons, actually, in the Mormon, just like the deeper truths, that they'll actually have these demons, these phantasms, and they can actually see them, and they'll look exactly like Uncle Herman or Husband Dave, and there he is. And he looks at that, where's the jacket, and there's the mustache, and they believe, this is a demon. They just go down to the file, well, what did old Herman look like? You know, a demon transmogrifies into it and appears. And they bow the knee, and that's where it's all about. Bow the knee to Satan. Can you hear the man? He comes with lying signs and wonders. See, where did Satan get that power? Well, the Egyptians, they were able to throw stakes down, remember? And they turned into snakes. Yeah, but Aaron's snake ate their snakes, see? They could do a lot of magical things, and that power is in the land today. Crystal ball worship. I don't know about these crystal balls that sit in people's yards, the gazing ball. I'd get rid of that thing. Ulamasita, using demons to get what you want. Did you know there's some of praying at somebody? Lord, would you tell them this? Lord, would you get them? Did you know that's demonic? We're not called to pray at somebody. We're called to pray to the Lord. We'll tell the Lord. That's what Mary did, Martha did. Martha, would you tell my sister? See, and the Lord rebuked her. We don't go get telling God what to do. Hello? God, touch that in trouble. Can't leave it on my desk. Come on, he's not our divine secretary. You know, we're called to humble ourselves to him. Say, Lord, thank you that there are bugs in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Don't change them. Change me. Get out of that. How do y'all like that prayer? Say that with me. Don't change them. Change me. Oh, isn't that good? Put that in your bathroom mirror about the person that bugs you. Amen? You'll get God's attention. Divination, diviner, doctrinal error, doctrinal obsession. Doctrinal obsession. There's no, you know, man's best friend is his dogma. You know, just obsessed with what they believe. You know, absolutely. I mean, just, I wouldn't speak in tongues in my life depending on it. You know, these people are just so, I tell you, it's demonic. Just all wrapped up in, I'm not big into doctrine except the basics, you know, because I'm more interested in setting the captives free. But the basics I'm big into, but you know, these petty things, dreamers, people that are spacing out. ESP, eight ball. I used to have one of those, little eight ball, you'd have on your desk, you know, it'd say yes and no. Still have it. No, I'm kidding. I broke that thing. Got rid of it. ESP. I've had that there twice. False gifts. False prophecy. Fears of losing your salvation. Hypnosis. Wait, here we go. Fortune telling. I'm going, fortune telling. If you've ever been to a fortune teller, ever had your palm read at any time, you need to renounce that in Jesus' name. There could have been a demon coming to you. Many of y'all heard that story years ago as a lady that we ministered to, and when she was 14, she had her palm read, and she was in her late 20s, and she was terribly demonized. And we called that demon up, and that a snake came up. Her tongue went, like that, way out of her mouth, like a snake. It was hissing at us. I went, my God, what is the deal? And it was a snake demon inside of her stomach that came in with 14, when she had her palm read at grammar school. And she wasn't even, she got saved when she was 20. But you know, even though she was saved, the demon was still down there in her stomach. It needed to come out. We cast that puppy out. Praise the Lord. She got delivered. Amen? Hypnosis. Some of us, when we were kids, we tried to hypnotize each other. You know, hypnosis, you can't open the Chronicle some days. And there's these things about hypnosis, the way to get free from smoking. And you know, it's hypnosis. It's just pure. It's basically to enter into a blank, passive state. And guess what comes in when you get passive? Oh, I mean, you know, bats in the belfry, man. Hello? Called to be of sound mind, to be alert. Jesus said, watch and pray. He didn't say space out. Sit on the top of the mountain, yom, om. You know, and there's no place like om. It's demonic. Incantations. Indian burial grounds. I knew a guy that was born on an Indian burial ground. Born on an Indian burial ground. The guy was so psychic. We were praying for him. He went home and there was an axe head punched into his door with blood coming out of it, and it didn't happen by a human. Now, listen, some of y'all don't think this is nuts. This is true. This guy was a psychic person. He lived half in the other world. And he was born in an Indian burial ground. And we had to break these curses. He was actually born again by an open vision of Jesus in a waterfall of light from heaven standing on a rock. That's how he was saved. He was on a camping trip. Jesus in a waterfall of light from heaven. Jesus standing on a rock. He said, okay, I accept you. But you know, we realized a lot of it was demonic because the Lord was merciful in spite of it. But he was born in Indian burial ground. We began to break and cast those demons out and begin to have a normal life. I don't understand all that, but there's a lot of Indian curses in the land because of what the white men did driving them out. It's like one of the reasons the Vietnam vets are so messed up. It's because that's what the Viet Cong did, is cast Buddhist curses on them. I don't know if you know that. That's what they did. They just spoke Buddhist curses on all the vets. That's why they're so screwed up all the rest of their life, because they're all walking under Buddhist curses. They went over to this Buddhist land. So they hit them with the spiritual. You know, William had the greater firepower. They hit them with spirit power. And the ignorant Americans were all demonized to the hell. Am I right? A lot of these guys are homeless. They're old Vietnam vets. They're full of Buddhist curses. They got it over there. Same type of thing. A lot of the problems in America is because we're settled in areas where, if you could follow the Trail of Tears, there's all kind of poverty in that area, you know, all kind of devastation and degradation in parts of the country because of the occult.
That's right.
The Dust Bowl. Jewelry, the occult jewelry. Got to get that jewelry gone. It talks about, now, this is kind of a trepidation area, but it talks about this multiple piercings. I'm going to tell you something, it's a cult. Did you know, just to pierce your body, now, you, don't get mad at me, ladies, because I'm hitting on something really cultural here, but just to pierce your body, according to the Bible, in Numbers 13, a number of places, the piercing of the ear was an occult practice developed by all the heathens. In fact, a lot of times God would have the people take those earrings and give the gold back to dedication to God. But the sign of a slave, literally, if a man wanted to be a slave, he would put his ear and they would pierce it through as a sign of a slave, all through the Roman Empire. Even though it's accepted in our culture, women, when you have your ears pierced, you have opened yourself to the devil. Period. This is not one of the more popular areas of deliverance. But it's true. I'm going to tell you what where I've come with over the years. I am not dogmatic about it. I am not dogmatic. I say if you got a pierced ear and you feel comfortable about having an earring in your pierced ear and you don't have a check from the Holy Spirit, then do it. But I'm going to say this. If you pierce once, don't pierce anymore. Are you hearing me? None of these body piercing garbage. Now they pierce everywhere. I can't stand needles. Hang on. And it's just so disgusting. I mean, I guess, well, how do you rebel against a hippie generation? I mean, we hippies, we grew our hair long, you know, and wore beads. Well, what do our kids? Well, I'd stick needles in my skin, man. You know, tattoos. Tattoos is clearly marks of the skin. These are forbidden. You open yourself to the occult. I've dealt with more people who deliver themselves these tattoos. You have to annoy them and curse the demons and snakes and stuff just to mark your body. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, because it's culture, the norm, it ought to tell you something. He said, well, I don't know if the world hates you. And you know, you may say, well, I don't believe that. You know what, you may not believe that, but guess what? You're going to get a demon. And I said that under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get a demon if you do it in rebellion. Now, if you've pierced your ear and you don't have a check about, fine. I've had a witness from the Holy Spirit to not put the law on somebody, but don't do it anymore. Are you hearing me? If it's done, done. But don't do it anymore. Don't go putting your ear all the way up here and bangles and, come on, you know, through your nose and your belly button or other places. Don't. And, you know, now this popular thing is these girls are putting these tattoos on the lower part of it. I saw a girl the other day, she's leaning over and some tattoo down here. And why would they put it there? Nobody can see it except themselves in the mirror. But it's popular. It's the in thing now. And you're defiling the body of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, not only have they taken the tape and run over it with the car. I'm getting into Lake Hamilton here today, bro. We call it levitation. You know the Star Wars movie where, who is it, the guy that just made the thing rise? Oh, I can do it. I can. Look, let me tell you, that's pure Hinduism, cultism. And you know what? You know how levitation works. You know how it works. Some demon goes, a couple of demons. Yeah, you get a, that's all it is. Demons are lifting you up. I've actually seen things. I've actually seen levitation with my own eyes. I have actually seen objects move with their own will, just move in the middle of a session, just move across the room. I like it when I see that because I get mad. Because when they start coming out of hiding and manifesting in the natural world, they're scared. They're trying to bluff me, and I go, I see you, puppy. Get out of there in Jesus' name. We go get a little bottle of oil, anoint it with oil, and cast those demons out. And amen. This can be fun. So much for boring Christianity. Before I got into deliverance, it was, you know, go to church, sing songs, you know, witness. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? You know, just this point, I got into casting out demons. All of my friends became my enemies. It's been fun. Mental telepathy. This new movie, E.T., is coming out. That movie, E.T., is coming out again. It's all about mental telepathy. The little kid was able to communicate. That demon, that E.T. is a demon. And there's a soul tie between the two of them, too. They would say, psychic power. You got to watch these things that are coming out full of the occult. Mind control, mind reader, horror movies, yeah, fascination with science fiction movies, science fantasy, heavy metal music. You know, stay away from these horror movies, man. That stuff will get in your spirit. But Isaiah 33, it says, blessed man who keeps his eyes from seeing evil and his ears from hearing of bloods. Shouldn't even read the stuff in the newspaper that's all about bloody stuff. I'm just trying not to, don't put it in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Why put that garbage in, garbage out? Ouija boards. Palm readings. I'm just going through these. In the name of the Lord, every demon that has anything to do with any one of these saints, by what I just talked about the last 10 minutes, I command you to come out now. Now! I beg your power! Come out! I command you to come now. Come on. Take a deep breath. Thrust them out. Every year I've been addressed in the last 10 minutes, I command you to come out. Come on, devils. Beat your power. Come on. Come on. Come on. Up, 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 out. I like to joke about it. I like to laugh about it. I like to talk about it. But it's to smoke you up. I command you to come out of these things. I speak your power. Expose you, Satan. Expose the occult powers. Take it in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, we break this generational curses. Occulted power, Indian heritages, Germanic heritage of the Black Forest, witchcraft power, witchcraft Indian, gypsies, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mexican heritages, in the name of Jesus. Far Eastern heritage, African heritage, the biggest power. Pick your occult sciences, occult powers, false gods in Jesus' name. Pick your authority. Hand you to loose these saints today in Jesus' name. Loose the minds. Loose them in Jesus' name. I command that demon to loose the mind right now. I just saw it in the spirit world. I just saw a vice on a mind. I break your power. Father, I ask you to send an angel and undo the vice. Now I command you to go mind control. Hand you to loose those saints. Right now in Jesus' name. I saw this on you, brother. Come, Holy Ghost. Come on, take a deep breath. Come, Holy Ghost. I command you to go, devils. Break your power. Cast you out. The Bible says we have authority to cast out devils. Go. Father, I ask you to send angels and search the inner parts. Smoke them out. Smoke them out. Indian curses, false gods, worshipping of the water and the sea, worshipping of the sky and the stars and the moon and the running waters. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worshipping of animals, sacrificial shedding of blood of animals for atonement to gain acceptance with the local territorial spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. Betrayal. Pick your power. Come on, occult spirits. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every dark spirit, every hidden spirit. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Father, send light in there. Send light. Set the captives free today in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Come on, let them thrust them out. Thrust them out. Thrust it out. Command it to go. Command it to go. Command it to go. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee. Command it to go. Command it to go. Come out of the stomach. Come out of the intestinal line. Come out of the backbone. Come on. Come on, you Kundalini spirit. Come on, Anaconda spirit. I break your power out of the back, out of the spine in the name of the Lord, out of the base of the brain stem. And then I break your power. Come on out of there in Jesus' name, you Kundalini spirit, the base of the spine. I break every chakra point in Jesus' name. Every third eye, seven chakra points all up and down the head, all the way back down the spine. I break it. Break your power. Change your loose in Jesus' name. I break that spirit of Hinduism in the name of the Lord. Transcendental meditation, Maharishi Yogi. I break the power of the witchcraft spirits coming through Beatles music. I break it in Jesus' name. Hold like I under the Kano spirits to go in the name of the Lord. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Let it go. Thrust it out. Thrust it out in Jesus' name. Come on. Thrust it out. Take authority over it. Say, no, devil, you're not going to torment me anymore. I'm going to live free. I'm going to live peace. I will keep them in perfect peace. I'm going to live an overcoming life. I'm not going to have these deep things that keep pulling me down into bondage in Jesus' name. A lot of this rock music, there's no way you can listen to that stuff without being demonized to some degree. Music is a powerful medium. Don't kid yourself. I can hear a song by the Turtles. Happy to get, what is that? And suddenly, I'm transported to 8th grade, and I'm feeling feelings that I felt for this little girl. I'm serious, just a song. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Music is a powerful medium. It touches things down inside of us. Satan, best scholars believe, Lucifer was the worship leader of heaven. And what he's done is he's perverted it. And the rock music, right? I just had somebody email me yesterday asking me about rock music. Saw it on the webpage. But I'm going to tell you, and I know, not only are they going to grind this tape to powder, they're going to spit it out. Because a lot of the Christian rock music is straight from the devil. The spirit in it. I don't care what the words are. The spirit, discern. If you're in deliverance, you can discern. And you discern the spirit is wicked. It works you up. It takes away your peace. Let all things be done in peace. Now the God of peace himself leave you peace always by all means. And if it takes away my peace, I don't care what kind of music it is. If it robs my peace, I'm going to renounce it and have nothing to do with it. Because it's all about coming into peace. And a lot of this stuff, this KSBJ, 4 out of 5 songs, stirs its soulish. It just ministers to the soul. Now, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing necessarily, but when you get in the soulless realm, you're open to other influences. You can become nostalgic. Suddenly you can open up to this, emotion this, and you become turbulent. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with the soul except it's the venue of the devil. It's fallen. We're called to walk in the spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we use our soul, we use our mind, we use our emotions, yes, but you have to be wise and stay in the spirit. Can you hear an amen? And I'm telling you, this Christian, it's gotten to the point, when I was a young believer, all the Christian, even the long-haired Christian rebels, by the way, the reason Christian music has come to the place it has, it was the contemporary Christian music was birthed, and I speak as one who was there when there was only 3 groups, Larry Norman, Love Song, and who was the other one? Just just a couple of them when I first came in. Back then, Larry Norman, and they would all be smiling in the camera. What Jesus was in their eyes. I used to go see checking the second chapter Acts in Dallas Holmes in the early days. And that's what, but you know what I noticed over the years? Now you got these groups, they just look like a bunch of punks. They don't even look at the camera, they're just thugs. They got metal in their faces, and there's some Christian group got audio adrenaline, or demons we're not. I don't know what their names are, but I'm telling you, it's a crazy look. And I get that stuff in the mail all the time as a pastor. Oh, this big youth rally at the Pasadena Convention Center. Get your youth group to come. Yes, and it's this group, and they all look at the camera like this. Look, I'm sorry. I'm discerned. God's given me discernment. I'm going to make a stand against it. It's not of the Lord. It's the spirit in it. You can go to those things. Our kids, they were going to a vineyard church, and they were doing, what do they call it? Mosh pit, and they were diving in the mosh pit. They're all sweaty, pulling their shoes. This is a Christian concert. I know. The old guy says, "What's this?" I agree. I'm an old guy like you. I didn't have it explained to me. It's purely the flesh, the world, and the devil. It ain't the Lord. You know what the Lord is? It's simple. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are virtue, whatever things lift you up. Lift your spirit up. If it gyrates the soul. You go to Africa. You listen to a lot of those as they are in Haiti. And you know what they do to conjure demons? They get the beat going. It's just primarily beat. The heavy beat. And they start to gyrate in the beat. And they fall on the ground. And the demons possess them from the beat. They use the beat to bring the demons in. Now that's one extreme. Did you know the other extreme is where there's no rhythm at all? Can be just as demonic. That's the new age. You know, it can open you up just as much. There's a healthy balance in music. If it's all one extreme or all another, I tell you, it brings in something unclean. Now, you may be sitting on about it. I don't care whether you buy it or not. You're deceived if you don't. And I say that because I cast out demons. And I know it's true. And I've cast those demons out of people. In the name of the Lord, I want you to say this and have the guts to say it. And if you listen to this tape, say it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the occult influences of music. Whatever music. Whatever guise it's in. When it robs my peace, steals my joy, stirs up my soul, and opens my mind to anything other than Jesus, I renounce it in the name of the Lord. And I command right now, I command those demons to come out of these people. I break your power now. Come on. Come on. Out of the mind, out of the emotions. I break your power. Come on, the devil. I command you to go now. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Come on. Out of the mind. I'm serious. Tell the things to go. Go in Jesus' name. Tell the devil to go. You want to walk holy, righteous before the Lord our God. Can you imagine in the throne of heaven, some big old heavy beat? Come on, man. The angels are worshiping God. There's a beauty and a glory and an uplifting. Who ought to know I was going there, but I'm glad I did. Sorcery. You know what sorcery is? Drugs. The word pharmakia, drugs, sorcery. Yeah, some of you say, well, I don't take heroin or marijuana. No, but we take other drugs. We run to drugs. Can you amen? We run to the pharmacist. You know, the word pharmacist comes from the word pharmakia. You know how it's translated in Galatians 5? Witchcraft. Now, again, I'm not dogmatic. I think at times there's a balance. I think at times if the Lord is not healing for some reason, you better get down there and get some help. Can you hear him? Can I amen? Absolutely. But you need to seek the Lord first. Quit running to drugs. Or people that are hooked on these weight pills, or diet pills, or you know, there's a difference, by the way, between drugs and medicine. There really is. Drugs and medicine. Drugs, it's something to somehow, and it's amazing in our culture how many people are taking medication. You know, it's just if you have a problem, you just need to be medicated. And there are people right now in this room, you're taking medication, lithium or some kind of an antipsychotic drug. It just puts you in a stew. You say, well, I don't have any problems. I just take my pill in the morning. They don't bother me. Well, you're right, they don't. But you have no sharp edge. You're not a threat to the devil. Christ wants us to live a life that has highs and lows. Sharp edges. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Can you amen? He didn't hide from pain. He suffered. But he also experienced exquisite joys. You see, the problem with those things, it cuts off the highs and lows. You just live in this dull middle. God doesn't want us to live like that. That's where the demons are. He wants to experience the range of emotions from the Spirit. Christ did. He wept. He rejoiced. He cried to God with strong cries. He rejoiced in his spirit. He wasn't on medication.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.